Hi, this is Chris.
And Sarah.
We're just getting ready for a time of boredom.
Excitement.
And consternation.
Welcome to the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Woo!
Yay!
Hey folks, welcome to the July 21st, 2007 edition of the unofficial Avengers in Odyssey podcast. Unfortunately, Sarah couldn't join me today. She had other matters to attend to, and yeah, you're stuck with me for today. Thankfully, however, you don't have to bear with me for that long, because we have the second part of our interview with Nathan and Marshall. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So sit back, relax. Grab some popcorn, maybe invite the family in, and join us for another, enjoy the interview, folks.
I'm not even going to try and say this username, because I don't think I'm going to butcher it. So, are Everett and Leonard going to live in Odyssey, and is Everett going to attend Odyssey Middle School?
Well, you can listen at the very first three episodes, the first three-parter, September 15th, 22nd, and 29th, and there will be an answer to that question. It is a show called A New Era.
We will find out the future of Leonard and Everett. What's going to happen with them?
Now that the Gene finding his father storyline is almost finished, are there any other big story arcs coming up?
Well, this fall, actually, which is all the episodes that are in album 49 air this fall, and many of the storylines that we've started over the last few years are going to be tied up this fall. We're going to hear more from Mandy and her parents. We're going to hear more from Leonard. We're going to hear more about Grady. There are just going to be a lot of storylines that are tied up this fall. And then also in the album that we're working on right now, album 50, there's going to be kind of a story arc over the whole album. Sort of
like Darkness Before Dawn, in the sense that it's self-contained in story arcs, but it's not like the intrigue mystery kind of thing necessarily.
Right.
There's some intrigue in it, but there's one story arc that unites all 12 episodes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
In album 50.
Cool. Joanna says, first of all, you guys are doing a great job with the show. Keep up the great work. Do you plan on letting Eugene and Katrina become parents? I can just imagine Eugene during Katrina's pregnancy. The poor girl would be parked in a chair at Wits End, drowning her stress in one milkshake or float after the next to cope with her husband's quoting baby books verbatim. Blessings.
I think she needs to write the show. If they're going to become parents, it sounds like she's already got it figured out. I think that's inevitable for the future. There are no current plans for them becoming parents, but everybody's right. I mean, it would be hilarious to see them have a baby, and especially with Eugenia, it would be hilarious seeing them have a baby.
I think one thing we always have to consider on the show is whenever we introduce a new element, we have to think, okay, how is this going to play out for the future? Because Odyssey is going on for years and years, and if we give Eugene and Katrina, if we make them parents, then we really have to make that part of the story of the show. We can't have Katrina have a baby and then never see her or the baby again. So we have to really think, okay, is this something that we want for the foreseeable future? There are several plot elements. People have noticed them, like the Timothy Center, that we don't really use a lot. It was an idea that was introduced that was a good idea, but we just haven't done that much with. And that can be disappointing if you introduce something and then don't actually use it.
And that also changes their place in Odyssey in terms of the storylines you use, because as a family, you're going to have different plot lines for those particular characters, such as the Washingtons, or way back when the Barclays are around, the Mulligans, the Shepherds. Whereas with Eugene and Katrina, as a couple, they're going to be involved in different types of episodes.
Yeah. And I think also, if you guys, before you go about giving them children, I think we need to hear a little bit more from Katrina first.
We'll be hearing from Katrina quite a bit in the first three shows of the season, so we
can,
get to explore a bit more of what they're like as a married couple.
Good.
Everything's happening in those first three shows of the season.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The first three, and then we don't have to hear the rest of them, right? Is that what's going on?
Well, the rest are
the
all
rest
very
of them
good
are
too.
Huge, yes. This, the fall season is huge as far as story arcs and characters. And yeah, you need to see it. You need to hear it.
Don't see it, miss huh? a single week.
Hackber asks, how come Mandy and Liz are around Trent instead of Jared, Dwight?
Well, we've kind of had to graduate Jared out of the show a little bit because his voice no longer matches his character. I mean, he was the conspiracy theorist kid, and so it made sense when he was little. But now, you know, he sounds like he's 25 years old, the actor. And so we're not really using him that much anymore.
I think it might seem strange as a kid to have kids who are a few years older hanging out with a younger kid, but I think that happens. You know, you have friends who are younger than you and older than you, so I don't think it's that unusual for Mandy and Liz to hang around someone who's a few years younger.
No, but it is a little bit and weird Trent's to have them hang out with, you know, the older brother than suddenly hang out with the younger brother who is supposedly...
I think it happens.
But on that note, though, Corey Padnos, the actor voicing Trent, his voice has changed already.
Although we can get away with it with Trent a little bit more because Trent's character is a little more mature.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Connie's number one fan, and so does Sarah, wants to know, when do we get to hear about Trent and Mandy getting together?
Oh.
Well, actually, we just finished a script. Actually, we probably have a few more tweaks on it as soon as we finish this recording. We just finished a script where we're going to hear a lot more about that.
Ooh!
That will air.
That's going to be an album 50 next spring.
Yep, we're recording it next week.
I'm happy.
Also a show that has Edwin and Shakespeare in it, so we're going to hear from them again.
Yay!
Wow.
You fans are just such the Cupids. You want everybody getting together.
No, I don't. I hate it.
Well, that is the questions that we get all the time are, when are Connie and Mitch getting married? When is, for a long time, of course, it was, when are Eugene and Katrina getting married? Or when is Brian Dern?
When is Tasha coming back?
People just,
we want Tasha to become a Christian so she can get together with Jason. Like, that's the only reason to become a Christian.
No. Jason must stay single forever.
Oh, okay.
Because if Jason gets married, there's going to be a lot of fangirls who are just going to be too disappointed and won't listen anymore. I'm not one of them, I promise.
We won't tell you what age Townsend Coleman is.
I already know. He's in his, isn't he like 50-something?
I don't think he's that old. Yeah, he has a grandfather, that's right.
Okay, no, that's scary. I don't want to think about that.
Let's see. Okay, Terrell asks, how is the death of Walker Edmonston going to affect Odyssey? And as a side question, Rodney Rathbone would like to know, will Tom and Bart die or leave Odyssey?
Well, we are currently trying to figure that out ourselves. We've been looking at possibilities of replacing the voice, not using the character of Tom anymore. We've even talked about possibly having Tom die in the context of the show, the character of Tom. And we haven't made any real definite decisions. We have come up with a replacement voice for Bart, which we're using in at least one show. At least two shows, I guess. I'm trying to figure out exactly
what we should reveal.
Yeah,
here.
Because
well, we would kind of treat it like a test, like Search for Wit, and we'll see how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a ways in the future. This fall, we actually won't hear from Tom or Bart, but this spring is probably when we'll make some more decisions on that. Not only with Walker's characters, but Walker was, as we talked about on the official podcast, Walker was really a part of the family with Odyssey, and so it's definitely going to leave a hole there. Even if we might find someone who could replace the voice, it's still going to be, it'll be a different feel to things without Walker there, because he's been there pretty much since the show started. So it was a very sad time for us after he passed away.
Yeah, Walker and Chris Anthony are the actors we've had the longest.
Mm-hmm.
I know this has been, I don't think it's in the questions, but this has been mentioned on the boards a lot, and it's been a question I've had. I know a lot of the actors are actually getting up there in age. A lot of them are quite old, with all due respect. Are you guys looking ahead and making plans in case something happens to somebody else, or are you guys not thinking about that, or is that like on the radar?
That's always sort of in the back of our minds. We are going to reevaluate that after album 50 and see, you know, what kind of changes we need to prepare for, and we'll do that.
It's kind of a tough thing to talk about because none of us want to really talk about it, but we have to.
Definitely.
It's something that we have to do, just say, okay, what is this show going to be like 10 years from now? And so after album 50, we're going to be going into a period where we're going to try and plan for far out into the future, not just for the next album, but for the foreseeable future for Odyssey and how that's going to look.
Interesting, yeah. You want to figure out which characters you want to retain. And also that you have to consider the actors or actresses playing those characters too, and will they be available? What are their interests in the future as well?
Exactly.
Something that I've wondered for a very long time, and I know it's been talked about again on the boards, do you guys know, or is it even on the radar, are if the actors that you guys use, especially for like the main characters, are they believers? Is that a requirement to work on the show? Is that just like, is it not talked about? Do you guys,
It's not a requirement. We consider what we do a ministry to them as well as to the people that are listening. It's impossible to avoid the question of Christianity when you're in the studio with these people, and and also, you know, when we go out to dinner with them and have lunch together, it will come up, and so we have been able to gauge some of their, you know, where they are spiritually, that's something to pray for, because honestly there are some that are not Christians, and there are plenty that are, but there are some that are not. And so that's something to pray for, and that's something that we take very seriously, that we need to, you know, to minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody become a believer since working on the show, do you know?
I don't know of any stories like that. I do know of stories of actors, I won't get into the details, but I do know of stories of actors who were really touched by being on the show, or were touched by different moments on the show, actors who might not be Christians who were touched by some of the content of the show. But we don't know of any stories of actors who have become Christians. We know of listeners, certainly, who have accepted Christ because of the show, but we don't have any stories of actors.
Well, that's something to pray for then.
Definitely.
All right, thank you.
All right, moving on. Samitude would like to know, do you ever run out of plot lines?
We run out of plot lines all the time. Right now, we have no plot lines. We're done with this session, and so we're out of plot lines. We're stuck on zero. What are we going to do?
Well, that's great, because she would also like to know, if we as listeners have plot ideas, where can we send them? And do you accept story suggestions?
Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995.
Well, I think I can answer that just by saying we do read all the letters that come in, and so we read story ideas from there, and we often are inspired by those stories, maybe not even by the specific story idea, but just by the kinds of stories that people are asking for or talking about. Yeah. Sadly, we can't accept scripts from people. It won't get into the real long explanation, but it's basically because of legal reasons we can't accept script submissions. But we definitely can. We read the letters that people send in. So if you have a story idea, or if you have something that you want to happen with one of the characters, definitely send it in.
Cool.
Okay, ITAC would appreciate it if you guys would be willing to discuss the similarities and differences between writing and directing. Which is harder and which is easier and why? And which do you enjoy more and why?
Well, they're both hard. Mm-hmm. Directing obviously only takes, you know, 4 hours per show, but writing takes, you know, t- tons of hours per show. And so I think directing is probably easier in that respect. What I enjoy more is I really do enjoy directing a lot, just because you get to hear your words come to life. And when you're working with talented people like we are, it's just amazing seeing, you know, the words on the page, and you never expected it to sound that good. And it consistently does.
Mm-hmm. As far as harder or easier, I don't think either one is easy or harder than the other one. I think directing can be more fun because you get to see your words come to life. But there's also a fun part of writing that when you really get into a story, there's something very exciting about revising that story and really working on it and shaping it. I enjoy writing more as we get into the second or third drafts, because that's the point when you're polishing it and when it's looking more like the final script. To me, the hardest part of my job by far is writing a first draft, just looking at those blank pages and saying, I've got to get 30 or 40 pages out of this thing. That's always very hard for me.
Kind of reminds me of the episode Around the Block when Connie had to type out 300 or so words per day.
As far as easier or harder, that was a very easy episode to write because it was about writer's block. And so it's very easy for writers to write about writer's block. At least it was for me.
Very relevant.
Well, speaking of episodes, Agent Paul would like to know how long it takes to create one, starting with the initial ideas, writing the script, and then finally recording and producing the final product.
Well, that varies so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, we're doing album 50 now. We came up with an outline for that, a basic outline, months ago.
I think we started talking about it last fall of 2006, and then we outlined it in January of 2007, and we revised the outline a lot. And now we're working on the scripts, which we'll record next week and also in September. And then the show will air in like March through May of 2008. So it's been almost 2 years since we started talking about this thing from start to finish.
Now the stories. Now that's a specific album. That's album 50, because we had an idea about what we wanted to do for all 12 episodes. But sometimes when it's just an individual show, a one-off show, you know, it probably takes a couple of months mm-hmm. to go from start to recording it. Mm-hmm. Nathan and I just co-wrote a show that we had an outline, and we finished it, the first draft, in about 2 days.
Very quickly, yeah.
And then we finished the next draft in about a day.
Mm-hmm. We were holding off just because of some just issues with casting and recording, and when we finally got to writing it, we had to write it very quickly, but I think it came together pretty well. I think it's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
All right. Bennett wants to know, is the show purposely targeting a younger audience compared to before? Like, in other words, is it knowingly dumbing it down, like with the changes in dialogue and the amount of silliness and the changes in music and stuff like that?
You know, this question comes up a lot. I don't know if I'm ignorant or what, but I fail to see so much difference between the old shows and the new shows. Mm-hmm. I think there's some differences in pacing. And there's differences sort of in style, in trying to get theme across and that kind of thing. But other than that, you know, there were plenty of scary episodes back then. There are plenty of scary episodes now. It doesn't feel like it's been dumbed down to me at all. It feels like we're kind of operating on the same level intelligence-wise. And yet we get all these letters saying, why aren't you doing it like you used to? Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about that, though, when we get those letters, is that we never know where they're coming from.
Right.
Because people listen on the dailies, and they come in wherever they are, and they say stuff like, you know, they'll say stuff like, I don't like this new family, the Barclays. Why'd you come up with them?
Where'd the Washingtons go?
Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of, so we never know exactly what they mean by the show's not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also, I mean, when we're talking about fans like you guys, I think there's a tendency to love the old stuff, just like everybody loves the old Beatles, and everybody thinks that the first Die Hard was better than the second, third, or fourth. those kinds of things. And I think there's a natural tendency to do that. I'm not saying that what we're doing is better than what we did before, or even equal to it. But I think there's a natural bias.
I think there's a tendency with any series, not just Odyssey, but with any, like you were mentioning, the Beatles or whatever, just because the original was the original, it was the beginning, it was when the idea first started, that there's kind of a warm place in your heart for where it began. And I think that's true without, it's certainly true in my mind, is that I think of the shows from the beginning in a very different way because I heard them when I was 9 and 10 years old. And so, you know, I have a lot different feelings about those shows than I do about ones that I heard when I was in college, or certainly ones when I was working on the show. And so I think the show has changed in some ways, certainly, as Marshall mentioned, pacing or characters or different storylines that we do. But I think when you look at the show as a whole, when you compare just a sampling of shows from the early years to a sampling of shows from the later years, I don't think there's that huge of a difference.
I thought it was interesting listening, because I do go to the message boards every now and then, especially after a new show has aired, and I just want to see, you know, what the general reaction was. And there was some that just shocked me. Like, for instance, Hear Me, Hear Me, which was on February 17th. I really thought that was going to be a fan favorite. I thought it was funny. I thought Wooten was at his best, and there was Connie and Eugene, and it was sort of going back to the old Connie and Eugene, where they're kind of bickering and that. Mm-hmm. I just thought that would be a fan favorite, and then it came in, and I don't know that it was very well reviewed.
I think some people liked it and some people didn't.
Well, do you remember the people on the boards? Don't speak for the entire Odyssey population.
Yeah, we recognize that. We recognize it, and we don't you know, take anything personally.
Oh no, certainly not.
But
except that comment about my hair, you know, I took that personally. But other than that.
I'm the one that wrote in on that.
No. But I would say that we don't discount when people say they preferred the old shows to the new. I mean, we wouldn't say, well, you're wrong.
Right, right.
Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And if you like the style of the older shows, that's fine. You know, we don't say that, you know, that's incorrect, that the new shows now are better. We certainly wouldn't presume to say that because... different people prefer different things, and we just try to write the show the best that we can at the time that we're doing it. And if people like different eras of the show, if they like the show better now, if they like the show better back in the 90s or even the 80s, then that's fine. And we just try and do our best and keep the same feel of the show, keep it true to its roots, but... If we didn't try new things, then Odyssey would have stopped a long time ago.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I know that the split episodes were not real popular with with people on the message board. But I'm glad that we did it, even though I don't know that they were real successful in doing what they were aimed to do, but I'm glad that we did it just because. It was an experiment, and you know, every now and then you need to change things up.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't, Nathan's right. We wouldn't be on the air.
Well, going back to what Nathan said about listening to the shows, earlier shows when you were 9 or 10, like when I started listening back in 1995, 1996, you know, I was only 7 or 8, and you know, when you listen to those original episodes, you're looking through them through not rose-colored glasses, but through the eyes of a child. And Sarah and I talked about this in one of our earlier podcasts about just learning to listen to these episodes through that that innocent, non-biased perspective. And I think nowadays, especially us older listeners, those of us who are in our college years or even older, we've experienced different things in our lives, and so we're not viewing these episodes no longer as through those childlike eyes. And I think one fan posted something like. It was like when Whit made the comment about Jimmy Barkley, and he said Christopher Robin has left Pooh Corner, and it's kind of like that I find for some fans, and it's like they no longer view things through the eyes of a child, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why they don't enjoy the newer episodes as much as they appreciate the older ones.
Well, I think that you can look at shows different ways, and as you're saying, when you're a kid, you don't necessarily look at the show from a critical point of view. And when you're older, you start to... I mean, we do it as a team when we talk about TV shows. We'll often look at those at a critical point of view and say, well, we didn't really like this or we did like this. And I think that's just a function of being part of a series for a long period of time, when you have such a history with a show, you often tend to look at it from a critical point of view and say, well, I would have improved this or I would have fixed this, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it does bring a different dimension to how you listen to the show.
Going back a little bit to what Nathan said and Chris touched on too, is like, I think the type of episode, like the era that you like the best, depends a lot on like when you first started listening to it. Because you'll have younger listeners who didn't start listening to all the split episodes, and they love them. And they still do to this day, because that's what they heard first. And so sure. I don't think, and like, for me, I started listening, I think when I was like 5, so that would have been, what, 91? And to this day, like, if I hear, like, stuff that came out later, I love it, like, I love everything. But if you put a scary episode on now, it doesn't bother me at all, like, because I'm an adult. But if I start listening to Castles and Cauldrons or, like, The Mysterious Stranger or even A Secret Room, those are episodes that I heard when I was really little. And they still scare me to this day, even though they do. I don't listen to those ones at night. I don't listen to them if I know I'm going to be in a weird situation. I don't know why that is, but I think it's like there's so many memories attached to them, and how I think that's why people are so critical of the newer episodes, because they don't have the memories to attach, if that makes sense.
I think you're onto something there, Sarah. But I think we would say, just to kind of cap this off, is that we aren't against people looking at the shows from a critical point of view.
Yeah, I think absolutely not.
Oh, definitely not.
Oh, for sure.
I think that can really help our writing, is that when we look and say, well, yeah, that is something we can improve.
Uh-huh.
And there are things that we've read from fans or in letters, or when we talk to people, that they say, well, what about this? And we'll say, yeah, that is something we've been missing lately, and that's something we should address. So we appreciate all the opinions. We're not against reading negative reviews of the show.
Great. Well, that was a great long answer. Good discussion there on that question. Thank you. Oh, thank you,
that
Bennett.
That was a very long answer.
Isn't Chris just very tactful?
So
Chris is just full of so much tact.
Wow, what a great interview. Definitely some insightful information there. Very informative. Thank you, Nathan and Marshall. And yes, I am extremely tactful. So hopefully all those questions that you've been pondering about for the last couple weeks were answered, or rather answered. One other thing before I leave you guys today is just wanted to let you know about our survey that we recently added to the blog, which you can find at aiofanpodcast.blogspot.com. It's a really short 10-question survey just to help us get to know you a little better, and it'll also give you the opportunity to give us your feedback in terms of what you'd like to see in future podcasts. Sarah and I plan to record an interview-style podcast in the near future, and in that we'll answer all your questions for us, and this survey I've mentioned will be one of the ways through which you can send your questions to us. As always, you can write to us at aiofanpodcast@hotmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and get any feedback you have for us. Hopefully, for the sake of this show, Sarah and her accent will be back with us next week. Until then, I'll talk to you next week.